You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Bongani Bingwa.
On 702.
Call Bongani.
On 011-883-0702.
All right, we're having a conversation around things people do in public that really get to you. One of my worst is people who spit, particularly if it's in sports people, soccer stars, who just randomly in public spaces. If you find that annoying, give us a call, 011-883-0702. Maybe you've got your example. Let's speak to Greg in Honeydew. Greg, good afternoon.
Hi, Mangani. I've got a couple. Loud music is the worst.
Yes.
Bikes even worse. They wake up on a Sunday, but the worst, and it seems to become the trend recently, is people clearing their sinuses like that. It is horrific.
Yes. People clearing. Yeah, absolutely. Greg in Honeydew. Loud music. I mean, I don't mind loud music necessarily, but if it's done in the wee hours when you're trying to sleep, that kind of thing can really get to me. 011-883-0702. Things people do in public that really, really, really get to you. Urinating is another one.
Oof.
Right? How often have you driven past? And why do guys do this? They'll just pull it out and, boy, go ahead and do their business.
My pet hat is littering.
Yes?
My pet hat is absolutely littering. It's just, ugh. Not my stuff.
Things people do in public spaces that get to you.
Bongani Bingwa.
702 Afternoon Drive. 3 to 6.
As we do, of course, every Monday, we look ahead to the big stories of the week with a leading media practitioner. We've got now senior journalist at ENCA and author Karen Morn on the line. Karen, good afternoon to you and thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, Thursday is a deadline for President Zuma to make further representations on whether or not he should be prosecuted. And this is something, of course, I always say you're one of our best legal journalists in South Africa. This is something you've been following for some time. What can we expect?
Well, basically, what will happen is that the NPA's attitude on whether or not they would reinstate charges was informed by their belief that by nullifying the decision, it meant that the representations process, which the president was involved with at the time when the NPA dropped the charges, should continue. And so they'd given him the right to make these representations under the NPA Act. And then, of course, NDPP, Sean Abrams, will make a decision about whether he pursues the charges or not. But what is fascinating is that in the SCA decision, where they said that they reinforced the High Court's finding that the decision not to prosecute was invalid and should be set aside, the court also made it very plain that what President Zuma had previously raised in his representations outside of the spy tapes could not form part of those representations. Remember, the president tried to raise issues about, you know, prosecuting a sitting president. What does that mean? Potential threats to the welfare and well-being of South Africans, the kind of social chaos, you know, that you could see rioting if he was charged. All those kind of issues can no longer be brought up from him.
Wow.
And what his legal representatives have made very clear in their kind of statement in the aftermath of the decision is that the key dynamic, the key issue that they will be arguing is that the KPMG report into his financial affairs, into his so-called lifestyle audit, which was compiled by the very same person that did the report into the so-called SARS rogue unit, which has been so thoroughly discredited, that they will attack that report as being used as evidence against them. And they'll essentially say that it shows bias on the part of the NPA and that the case cannot continue. And that will form a major part of their submission.
It's quite amazing how far, you know, how much he's had to dig to try and get out of this one. Of course, Thuli Madonsela, the former public protector, says Brian Molefe has not been telling the truth in front of that parliamentary portfolio, in front of that parliamentary hearing, rather, inquiry into state capture. And he's in court this week.
Well, I mean, the Brian Molefe situation has kind of reached the level of farce because he's still insisting in this court application, which is being brought by the DA around this issue of his, 30 million rand pension payout,
yes,
which he didn't actually receive. He still insists, Bongani, that he did actually take early retirement and that he should be reinstated to his position. ESCOM is sitting on the sidelines of this case. They don't want to be involved. Lynn Brown is also not necessarily getting involved, but she is making a number of averments which essentially support the DA's position. And this court case threatens to open a can of worms because there have been suggestions that the entire bizarre early retirement 30 million rand payout was deliberately orchestrated from the beginning to ensure that Brian Molefe got that money. And of course, he now faces the very real possibility of this strange and quite bizarre version that he gave, which Eskom appears to be trying to support, that this was somehow some mistake, inverted commas, that was made, should be upheld by the court, and that the DA's application should be dismissed. But of course, this does have financial repercussions for Brian Molefe, because if he did receive some of that so-called early retirement cash, he will
have to pay it back. All right, and our final story that you want to look at is, it's really quite startling. It's unbelievable. An ANC councillor going to trial for raping four women in 2014-15, but despite being charged, was still nominated and elected as a councillor last year.
Well, this is a very important case. It's going under the hashtag Not Our Leaders. It's been a part of a campaign that's been launched by Lawyers for Human Rights, amongst other people. But Sipho Masalane was accused, along with another man, of raping and robbing two women in 2014 and another two in 2015. And two of the victims were adult women in their 30s, and the other two were aged 14 at the time of the alleged rapes.
Sure.
And though he was arrested in 2015 and granted bail of 2,000 rand, the ANC still decided to nominate him, despite him being charged, as a councillor in the 2016 local government elections, and in the face of community opposition, and he's currently a councillor for Ward 9. And what this is bringing up, of course, in the face of the Manana situation, which was so problematic on a number of levels, is that, you know, the ANC consistently maintains that it's dedicated to activism against gender-based violence. But the practice is telling the exact opposite. Now you have an individual who's been accused of the rape of four women. Two of them were children, 14 years old, and the ANC has supported this individual. Despite the fact, I mean, their attitude is that the court process must go ahead, and he hasn't been convicted of anything. But I mean, what kind of message are you sending?
I mean, it's really remarkable because, of course, if you look at some of the things that they've said, for example, even as recently as the NGC, at least rather the policy conference in 2017, in July this year, around whom they will associate as far as the caliber of leaders and cadres they want to have in the party. It's quite extraordinary that this is the turn of the event of events when the rubber hits the road. Karen Morn, journalist and author, and of course a senior reporter at ENCA, giving us the big stories of the week, the ones to look out for. Thank you for your time. Thursday, the deadline then for the president to make further representations on whether or not the NPA should prosecute him. Brian Molefe in court insisting it was maybe a minor error, that in fact he did take early retirement. And of course, this ANC councillor going on trial on Thursday for raping four women in 2014. At the time, some of his victims were in fact children. It's really, really quite extraordinary that he's been elected as a councillor.